What's up, sunshine? Terrific Tuesday to you. I'm Coy. This is CNN 10, and we've got a rendezvous with the best 10 minutes in news. We start today with an update on union strikes here in the U.S., headlined by the United Auto Workers Union. After 41 days on strike, workers at Ford are slowly heading back to work. They've reached a tentative agreement with the Ford Motor Company after negotiating an 11% raise right now, with 25% increases over the next 5 years. Workers will also receive cost of living adjustments, which they'd given up during the 2007-2008 recession, which crippled car companies. Cost of living is a calculation that figures out how much money it takes to cover things like housing, food, and healthcare, and those costs rise just about every year. There are still 29,000 auto workers on strike at General Motors and Stellantis, but sources tell CNN that deals may be close there as well. This has been the longest auto strike in 25 years. Ford chairman Bill Ford said these strikes have hurt the company's ability to invest in the future. That pain is felt most in the fast-growing electric vehicle market. Automakers in the U.S. are facing stiff competition from Chinese companies who could make electric vehicles at around half the cost of U.S. and European manufacturers. Let's zoom out now for a wider view and take a look at what's happening in many different industries. The number of workers going on strike, from healthcare workers to actors, has recently skyrocketed. One of the main reasons, new technology and the race to adapt and adjust to it. With more on that, here's CNN's John Sarlin.
I've never seen anything like this in my lifetime.
Over 450,000 workers have joined a strike in the U.S. this year, more than tripling the number from 2021, according to Cornell University's Labor Action Tracker. While action in the U.S. labor movement is still short of historical peaks, data shows a dramatic increase in the number of workers on strike from what the nation has seen for decades.
We're going to wars with employers that have declared war on workers.
Kaiser Permanente just fielded the largest strike the U.S. healthcare industry has ever seen. Meanwhile, Joe Biden became the first sitting president ever to join a picket line, standing alongside United Auto Workers as they make history confronting all big three automakers, General Motors, Ford, and Stellantis, simultaneously. UAW is seeking pay raises, job security, and other benefits.
That's not right, to work at a job and still get the same pay for 15 years. We're working 2-3 jobs to even meet ends meet. And you shouldn't have to do that in the United States. But we have given up so much for the CEOs of the big three for the last decade to make over $250 billion. We're asking to get our fair share and our just due.
Beyond wages, the threat of technology is also fueling the auto worker strike as the industry pivots towards electric vehicles, and has been a focal point in Hollywood, where guilds have attempted to stop artificial intelligence from replacing writers and actors in the industry.
It's concerning because it's at a rapid pace, and it's obviously something that these companies are looking forward to because it's profitable. But again, like, workers just want a piece of the pie. They want to be able to just survive again.
Despite this momentum, the Bureau of Labor and Statistics reports that the rate of union memberships across the country continues to trend down, with the percent of unionized workers falling from just over 20% in 1983 down to nearly 10% in 2022.
10-second trivia! Talking royalty now, at which of these British landmarks would you see the crowning of a king or queen? Buckingham Palace, Tower of London, Westminster Abbey, or St. Paul's Cathedral? If you said Westminster Abbey, put your hands up. It's been the coronation location for every single British monarch since the year 1066. Today, King Charles begins a 4-day visit to Kenya, where, among other things, he'll bring attention to environmental protection by visiting one of Kenya's national parks. Kenya is one of 56 members of the British Commonwealth, a group largely made up of former British colonies. The British colonized Kenya in the early 1900s, attempting to capitalize on the country's many natural resources. Kenyans rebelled and gained independence in 1963, but tensions still linger after after that decades-long fight with varying opinions about King Charles' visit among residents. CNN's Larry Madowo has more.
King Charles lands here in Nairobi on Tuesday, just weeks before Kenya marks 60 years of independence from the British. President William Ruto has called it an honor for Kenya to be the first for King Charles to visit Nkui Kamila in the Commonwealth. But ordinary Kenyans are divided on symbolism here and the value of this trip.
I'll be so excited if I see him, of course. And it's a good thing that he's visiting Kenya. Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that.
I just don't care. Yeah, I just don't care. Like, I'm not really bothered much about that. Yeah, I really don't care. What is he coming to do?
King Charles will be walking in the footsteps of his mother. Queen Elizabeth learned while she was here in Kenya in 1952 that her dad had died and she would be monarch. But during the same 1950s period, the British colonial government violently cracked down on the Mau Mau rebellion against colonial rule. Thousands of Kenyans are believed to have died. And some Kenyans want an apology, a full accountability for that colonial period and reparations.
What you should be doing is apologizing. And what you should also be doing is paying reparations for the misery, for the deaths, and for the havoc that was visited upon the people of Kenya.
There is renewed anti-colonial sentiment all across the African continent. In Cape Town recently, the Dutch King Willem Alexander and his wife Queen Maxima encountered protesters from an indigenous group demanding accountability for the colonial period in South Africa. King Charles has a packed schedule here in Kenya, from a state banquet hosted by President Ruto to meetings with creatives and young entrepreneurs to visits to the UN office in Nairobi to highlight climate change and conservation issues here. It's his first big swing at rebranding the Commonwealth, which was really his mother's pet project, hoping to set aside all the colonial baggage and chart a new path, a new relationship, not just here with Kenya, with all of these African countries that used to be part of the empire, and hoping to move that forward. Larry Madowo, CNN, Nairobi.
It is almost time for some tricking and some treating, but a lot of us out there better be ready to bundle up. You can't spell Halloween without low, and Mother Nature's bringing some low temperatures this year. Here's CNN's Allison Chinchar with more.
Trick-or-treaters are in for quite a shock this Halloween as a large swath of cold air plunges down from Canada into the U.S. Now, the good news, that same high-pressure system bringing the cold is also going to keep it dry for many trick-or-treaters. The cold air will start to hit the Midwest on Sunday, spreading into the Ohio Valley on Monday, and then the Mid-Atlantic and areas of the Southeast just in time for Halloween. For example, on Monday, Birmingham, Alabama will have a high temperature near 80 degrees, but just 24 hours later, the high temperature will barely make it to 60 degrees. The West Coast is the real winner, however, this Halloween, with near normal temperatures and nice and dry for trick-or-treating.
We're giving you pumpkin to talk about for today's story, getting a 10 out of 10, and we're going to get through this last story swiftly. Artist Jeanette Paris took pumpkin art into new eras. Meet Taylor Swiftkin, a gorgeous masterpiece of a pumpkin, leaving trick-or-treaters enchanted. Paris has been making pumpkin art for 35 years, styling the likes of Hillary Clinton, Donald Trumpkin, even Vladimir Putin. For Taylor Swiftkin, though, Paris even paid a tiny little tribute to NFL star Travis Kelce. Well played. Eat your heart out, Swifties. This pumpkin weighs 400 pounds, so in your wildest dreams, you could make about 200 pumpkin pies. All right, time for you to help write the show. Your vocabulary word in tomorrow's show for hashtag Your Word Wednesday. Follow me at Coy Wire on Instagram, Snapchat, and TikTok. Put your word, definition, school, and a teacher's name in the comment section of my most recent post, and we'll choose a winner to work into tomorrow's show. We want to give a spooktacular shout out today to Cumberland High School in Cumberland, Rhode Island. Go Clippers! Happy Halloween, beautiful people. Remember, stay safe, stay smart, and most importantly, have fun. I'm Coy, and we are CNN